Welcome to Trail Mix, where Mary and Jody sort through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Mary Tomlinson and Jody Dreyer, who met when their paths crossed as Disney executives, are now advisors, speakers, and authors, and I'm excited to say podcasters. They can't wait to share life stories and experiences, insightful and practical takeaways, encouragement, and you can always count on full-out honesty and lots of laughs along the way. Ready for some Trail Mix? Let's mix it up with Mary and Jody.
So today we're talking about got the COVID, all right? So I saw a statistic that said anywhere from 20 to 30% of the U.S. population has had COVID. And we know it's been all around us, and it seems to be impacting more and more people that we know. And so Jody was telling me about her experience because she and John have just recovered from COVID and had quite the story of how they got it. So today we're going to just talk about that and talk about just COVID. So that's our topic for today. So Jody, I know you guys have did the shots and the boosters and the whole bit, which is most of the people that I know that have now had COVID. So what happened?
Well, I think early on, of course, when there weren't vaccines and everyone was trying to figure it out, of course, it's scary. And, you know, it was this big beast out there, and I don't won't speak for you, but personally, I was half like, wait for it. You felt like at any moment you might get it. And then the other half of you thought, well, there maybe aren't that many people. And you didn't know that many people necessarily that were getting COVID. Uh-huh. But now, as we are years into it, and you just feel that it's going to be around, I think, you know, I started to feel different about it. And sadly, I think more of us know people, you know, some of our, you know, friends have been very sick. We've lost some extended family members to COVID. And, you know, it just is we know people that are still struggling that got it. So it's definitely, you know, serious and it's out there. But I think now, as we've had vaccines and getting on with our life and realizing, thankfully, that some of these new strains aren't quite as, they don't seem to be as intense, I think the mindset changed a little bit. And so along with that, so did we, and we made the decision this holiday that we were going to get the family all together, and that, again, we'd try to be safe, and but yet if we were going to get together, we'd be together. And then we had a family wedding that was postponed from last year because of COVID for this year. And so we went into it, again, kind of feeling like we had done everything we could do to be safe, mm-hmm. but then we also were going to live our life, and here we go. Well, so we went through the early part of Christmas, and we had people that came from five different states, and we were all staying together, and we had a great time, and nobody even had a cold or was sick, and it was great. And then we started going north to the big wedding, and, you know, it was colder, and people started having colds and coughs, and it was not funny, but a little bit ironically funny. And John and I said, okay, here we go. And we're going in. And not to belabor the story, but anyway, it was just one of those things where people started getting sick around you. Well, now we're staying with everybody. We're together at all these different functions, and you just feel like there's a target on your back. Mm-hmm. So lo and behold, A couple people were not able to attend the wedding, be in the wedding. John was a reader. He read scripture and he did a great job. And it was all so beautiful. And they got married. And we, the day after the wedding, got up and I said to John, okay, I don't think I feel quite right. Mm-hmm. And we just, Mary, there it went from, and so again, thankfully, we got through it okay, but it was something. And again, there was this sense of almost a relief because you thought, especially after now, you know, we've come out of it, although it took us a while to get our energy back and stamina, and that's what I've heard from a lot of people. But John got more the congestion with it, and I had a fever. And then the hardest part, I don't know if you've struggled with this, because you were quarantined, right? So tell me about your quarantine experience, I'll circle back on...
I don't know that we've quarantined. I mean, we've just
been
really
careful. Oh, I thought
you
were exposed to somebody and you had to wait and see.
Yeah, there was a wait and see. I wouldn't say it was quarantining, but yes, when I was down in Orlando at client meetings and got home and got a text and said, oh, you know that gal you were sitting next to for 2 hours? She is now tested positive. So it was like, oh, okie dokie, when can I take my test? And we had some at-home tests, which I am keeping, you know, in stock constantly. And it was negative. So but it was the first time that, you got that you have been exposed message. So yeah, just watched it, was careful with it, but thankfully, yeah, it was negative.
Well, I'm impressed, A, that you could find tests, because when we then started to have the symptoms, people that had the tests and they knew they were positive, we decided, okay, we better go see what's happening. And we couldn't find tests anywhere. I mean, at home to buy, to bring home, or any place to go. And then at a certain point, we said, well, what are we going to do different if we know we have it? So then we just decided, okay, we'll take a deep breath and hopefully we'll get through it okay. But it was interesting, because then I started, because, you know, we are live close to Mom. So she hadn't been exposed and we didn't want to expose her. So we started saying, okay, how long from when you have symptoms to when you, and that was the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Is trying to figure out, okay, how long you should wait and when you should be tested. And then, you know, because then you don't want to give it to anybody else.
Right.
And so anyway, it's not funny, but it was interesting because we did laugh at each other because we both, and I got it first. So then John had that same feeling of wait for it. And then each day or every so often, okay, how do you feel? Are you getting, and then the early strains of COVID, there was all the lose your taste and smell. And
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Did you have that?
No, except not, things didn't taste quite the same, but I never lost taste and smell.
Okay.
So again, I think it's just some of the same things are out there, but it's lessened maybe.
Yeah.
And you know, the symptoms are less. And so you're just on edge waiting for everything. I think almost to the point that you overthink it and anticipate, which in some ways is good, because again, back to, I don't want to make light of it, because people, you know, are dying and have been really sick and hospitalized. And so it's really a real deal, but it is one of those, the enemy that you see or don't see, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden when you're in it, but I also found that it made me, there's this quote, I don't even know who to attribute this quote to, that I've heard a lot in my life, but I felt this way when then we were in quarantine and we knew we had it and you didn't want to see anyone, you didn't want to do anything. And it said, the world slows down and sometimes stops for you and you rediscover yourself.
Oh my. Isn't that philosophical? So what did you discover about yourself?
Well, just sort of discovering like how you do when you're, you know, in a, I mean, it wasn't a crisis. It was never a crisis for us. Mm-hmm. But when you think it might be, and just when you can't jump in your car and go places and you can't see people, mm-hmm. and you don't even really feel like, oftentimes, you know, you wanted to get out of bed or off the couch, or that was the biggest thing, just no energy. And so I think you just pull it all back and get back to the basics.
Yeah.
So I think it was such a, which I felt, we talked about that. My gosh, it's been, you know, over a year ago that we had that discussion about lockdown and how, you know, you rediscover certain things. But I think this was even exacerbated in the situation. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. My son and his wife also got the COVID. And thankfully, it was kind of during the Christmas break. And when he came back to Chicago, the Chicago school system that he is in decided that for the first 2 weeks back that they would do back virtual online school. And he's like, this is cool. You know, I don't have to take any sick days. I can just have COVID and still teach, which he did. And they have a five-year-old son. And I said, so, you know, tell me about your experience. And he said, you know, some of the things was that, you know, they were worried about who they could have given it to. So you kind of back right. up to say, okay, who were we near? You know,
which normally, it, just to interrupt you for a minute, when you start to think about that, you realize you go through life and you don't really think about how many people you interact with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he has neighbors across the street that are older that he takes them to the bank and takes them grocery shopping. So he was worried about them. He said it was odd wearing masks kind of 24/7 because their son did not have it. So that, you know, they were trying to be very careful of him and a little bit frustrated because they tried so hard not to get it. They did everything that, you know, you're told to do, and mask wearing and washing your hands until they hurt and all of that. And then you kind of go, oh, golly, you know, here we are. And they continue to, you know, take tests. I mean, my theory on the tests is my dear friend Amazon Prime. I just go there and I order them and I keep them kind of on a reorder because I don't want to have to go from store to try to find them or to try to find a test site. I want them in my house because when I want to test, I want to test. And so they're available there. So I haven't had any problem making sure I have a bit of a stockpile of tests.
But have they been reliable? Because I know many people that have been taking them at home and oh, it's like, okay, I do just have a cold. It's nothing. Right. And then they find out they have COVID.
Well, so far, so good for me. I mean, I wouldn't know if it was lying to me if it was. I just take it and I believe it and I go on with my life.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could question reliability wherever. But, you know, so it to me, it's interesting to see, you know, kind of the reactions people are having. David said, you know, he started doing the order groceries and then just drive and then they throw them in the back of your car. So he said that was really cool. You know, I was able not to have any contact with people. He said, although I really prefer being able to go in the grocery store and pick out my own stuff because sometimes, you know, it wasn't the right stuff. The other experience that I've had recently is that my stepmother fell and broke her hip a couple weeks ago. So they took her to the hospital. She's in her late 80s. And would not let my father visit because of COVID protocol. So she was in the hospital for like, I don't know, maybe 3 days. And then they moved her to a rehab facility also that will not let my dad visit. So he's had what we're calling kind of window visits. So he stands on the outside of her window and they both have their cell phones and they talk to each other through the window. And to me, that's kind of a sad reflection of, right, you know, what COVID is doing, because for both of them, the healing is the ability to be together. But I understand, you know, both the hospital and the rehab facility saying no. So that's kind of, you know, one of those outcomes of just, you know, our world with COVID and trying to be careful.
Right. And we are not people. I mean, people are not designed to be isolated.
Right.
And I think that's what everyone is dealing with. And one of the things that I felt during that time of isolation was just to stop and say, you know, this is a moment in our lives.
Forever.
It's a chapter. It's not the forever story.
Right.
And I think as you're seeing, you know, people get on with their lives, we're realizing we have to figure out how to live with this and not just go into an isolation, you know, like your story. Okay, when we need to, and medical, and we need to, but also, you know, again, we need to be out there. I like Brené Brown. I don't know if you read much or follow her, but she has this great quote that she was talking about during COVID and different things. And she said, one day you will tell your story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide. And I thought, well, that was interesting to not only think, okay, this is temporary, but then also how this chapter, your story, can help somebody else. And I think that's what we're seeing during COVID as a good piece of it, is people are coming together and how can we help and sharing our story. And one of the things that John and I have found now that we're coming through it is we're much more sensitive to people that have it or people that have not had it that are a little nervous, because you've seen both sides of it. Like we said early on, a lot of us know people that are still struggling with it or maybe have lost loved ones. Or I think the more this just becomes part of our life, the better, hopefully, we are in being there for each other and learning from each other. But there is, I want to say, my sister said the most hilarious thing that somebody told her, because she's now had COVID twice.
Oh, golly.
I mean, she got the first strain early on and then now has had a more recent one. But and somebody said, but coming out of it, don't you also feel like now you have superpowers? Because they are saying, once you have it, chances are for the next, at least, you know, a short period of time, you know, a month to, I've heard everything, a month to 6 months, you know, you're not as, you have all the antibodies and you're not as susceptible to get it. And so you do start to feel empowered. You know, now all of a sudden we're like, yes, okay, we had it.
Been there.
What can we do? Right. You know, you feel like you can go for it a little more, and you're not as hesitant with that feeling of, okay, today, how do I feel? You know, waking up every day.
Right. So to, you know, kind of building on that, you know, you're saying, you know, you, now that you've experienced it, you have kind of some insight to help others. So what would you say to people who are either fearing getting it or in the midst of it and thinking like they'll never be healthy again? And because you've been down that road, what would you say?
Well, again, I think a couple things. First and foremost, and I have felt this way about all of the journey through this pandemic, is make decisions for yourself, your family, you know, it's a personal thing. And then honor that decision and everybody else's decisions. So like with our activities that we were talking about with our families, on both sides of our families, there were some people that were comfortable being together with large crowds and some not, and some saying, we've worked so hard not to get it, we just don't want to risk it. And then other people that, so I think that would be the first, is just continue to, you know, the whole debate about masking and not masking, and we all have to decide what we're comfortable with. So I think that first and foremost. And then two, I think is a second piece to that, which is encourage people to live their lives again in the way that you're comfortable with, but we can't all stay isolated and in a closet, never going out again. And so how can you move on with your life in a way that you're comfortable with, but you have to move on with your life?
Right.
And then I guess the third piece is just don't be scared. And don't, you know, I think that is where, for me, you know, specifically my faith and trusting that, you know, someone holds my life as precious as it is. And there are people that have been very sick. But I think for me to really prayerfully walk forward and realize, you know, this is a chapter and the only way out is through. So we have to walk through it and not to be just live a life of fear, and to have faith that we will get through this and that it is a chapter, not the forever story. And we're each day getting smarter about how to deal with it.
Yeah. I was looking at some research from mind.org talking about the feelings of the pandemic. So a lot of people are experiencing a lot of emotions that you mentioned, some of them, feeling hopeless or tired or worried or scared or lonely or isolated or angry or frustrated. And so it's acknowledging, you know, whether or not you're thinking about it out there or worried about getting it or having gone through it, that these are natural emotions. And they were saying, you know, how do you help manage these feelings? So they recommend, you know, talking to someone you trust, or, you know, in some cases, the depression really seeps in. So there's almost like, I need to get some help on the mental health scale if it's really starting to paralyze me. You know, recommended making choices on what you can control, looking after your own physical health. I think just giving yourself grace and just saying, okay, I'm not at 100% right now. And then they even said, which I thought was interesting, to express your feelings creatively. So I think about journaling or painting or somehow just reflecting on what is going on, and to your point that it is a chapter, it's not the whole book. It is all around us. It feels like, you know, when this started 2 years ago, it was sort of something way out there, and it feels like it's coming closer and closer and closer. And now, you know, there are so many people that I know today are have COVID. It's just here. And so we're all kind of walking through that together. So I think kind of your insights of, you know, this is where we are. There have been some silver linings from COVID, clearly less than the negatives, but how can we focus on the silver linings and continue walking through this and still living our life?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you said the biggest thing, and that's what we're doing today, even talking, you know, together about it, is to not bottle it up and sit in isolation having all those emotions.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the worst thing. And we just have to figure out the best way to, you know, get back at it and and live your best life in the moment.
In the moment. I love this quote. Of all the things I learned in grade school, trying to avoid cooties was the last one I expected to use later in life. And yet, here we are, avoiding the cooties. So as we continue to walk through this pandemic, we pray that you are safe and healthy and that you take good care of yourself. And, you know, just kind of treat yourself and give yourself grace. And so for me, one of my comfort foods is obviously trail mix. So don't forget to, you know, take care of yourself, enjoy a little bit of trail mix, and don't forget the chocolate.
Or the popcorn. You can find all of our Trail Mix episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love you to rate and give us a review.
And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look for Trail Mix Pod with a picture of Trail Mix. To learn more about us, check out our new website, trailmixpod.com.
It was great to have you. Thanks for listening to Trail Mix, sorting through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Keep mixing it up. And remember, life is nuts. So don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn.